Well, praise God. Today we're here to talk about money. It's all going to be about money. Amen? I know you beautiful people don't need any, but I do. So this is a golden anointing oil service. We'll talk about money. Say, money cometh. I have the authority as a believer. My authority is the name of Jesus. And I call money in to my life in Jesus' name. So I'm already blessed with wealth. I got a little announcement to make. QM and JM are in the building. It's just a little joke about something between me and some people going, what does that mean? Praise God. So it's all going to be about money. And I'm going to show you. See, I can talk about blessing money because me and my wife are financially blessed. We sold a building down in North Park for $1.2 million. Of course, we had to pay it. We owed a $500,000 on it. So but anyway, you know, I don't know how long ago did we leave North Park? Lyndon. 7 years. That's why I call upon Lyndon. He's got that brain. 7 years. We still have a good portion of that money. That's why I don't stand up and beg. I told God, we run out of money. That means you must be broke, and I'll put a nail in the door. But God ain't broke. You know, over 100 times he talks about gold. Over 100 and something times he talks about silver and gold. God is a very wealthy God. And we should be sometime in our lives coming into wealth and be blessed financially. We're going to go someplace in the Bible because God gave me that this morning. And then we're going to go and see what God has to say about money and what I have to do and what you have to do. Amen? So if you'll open your Bibles, Chris, please. 2 Kings. There's just a bit of dessert that he gave me this morning that on top of some other things that I want to bring out. In 2 Kings 5:13. Now we all know the story. At least if you don't, you're going to hear it. Naaman had leprosy, right? And he got a king involved and everything else. And then the prophet Elijah told him to go, how he's going to get healed was go wash in the Jordan. Well, he figured water is water. I want to wash in the other places. And a lot of us people make excuses why we don't want to obey God. And so, but the prophet said, I want you to wash in the Jordan. No, I want to, water's water. I'm going to get washed over here and I'll get healed. Now listen what the guy comes to Naaman and says here. 5:13. And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more then when he says to wash and be clean? See, we're always looking for something great. But guess what? No matter what you're doing in the body of Christ, according to the word in your family, it's great. But we're always looking to do miracles and different things. And we have to learn to be obedient to what God is saying. When he says Jordan, he didn't mean other rivers. You see? But he didn't want to wash in the Jordan. All that old dirty water. You see? So sometimes we got to learn how to follow God to exactly what he says. Me and my wife learned this a long time ago. It'll be brought out here in a minute. Hallelujah. So if you're looking for something great, whatever you're doing for God, say, whatever I'm doing for God, no matter how small, it's great. We all look to do miracles. See? And we all look for excuses how to do miracles. And God has a specific way for us to do things, and that's His way. And so He gives us the Holy Spirit to teach us. And so I just wanted to bring that out. A lot of people are looking for great things. See, I've been in ministry 35 years, and sometimes we have 50, sometimes we have 100, sometimes on Friday we have 20, but I'm still doing it. You know why? I experience every time the greatness of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He always meets me here. So is it about my emotions or about me, or is it about God? See, it should be about God. Say, I'm wealthy. I'm rich. The Holy Spirit is going to teach me how to have cash flow. God's not against cash flow. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes, if you would, Chris, 5, 4, and 6. Say, this is number one. The other was just dessert. Say, I received revelation about Naaman. I want to do what God tells me to do, no matter how small or how big, because it's all powerful. It's done by the Spirit of God within me for the glory of Jesus. Praise God. Okay, we're in Ecclesiastes 5, 4 to 6. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. See, I think a lot of people start out with giving 10% and drop down to 2% or 5%. When you make a vow to God, make sure you pay it. And don't go around saying this, when I hit the lotto, I'll tithe. God expects you to make a vow and to keep it right now. Okay? For He has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Because in God's eyes, you become a fool. See, a lot of people talk big bucks. They don't have no jingle. And some people squeak when they walk. They don't have enough oil of the Holy Ghost in them. So they don't want to give anything. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Are you listening? This is number one now. When you make a vow, see, it ain't going to work any other way. Naaman wanted to go over there and wash over there in other rivers. No, it's only going to work when you wash where God tells you to wash, when you do what God tells you to do. Don't let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. See? Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Before the messenger of God and say, oh, that was an error. That's not right. Why should God be angry at you, your excuses, and destroy the work of your hands? See, once we make a vow to God, we're in the family of God, we need to do what the vow, or pay the vow. And I'm not standing up here raising money. I'm up here telling you what me and Betty had to learn. We have vowed, and we have never, Betty is absolutely in fear not to tithe. Because she says it's holy. It's a holy tithe. Well, some people say, I can't tithe. Well, God didn't get you in that mess. You did. Now you're giving God a tip. Because you can't afford to fulfill the vow. Whose fault is that? Oh, God don't care. I'll just give Him my time. No, you got to give Him your money plus your time. See, God don't care. You know, we're not in Africa now. You can't bring a turkey in here. or a chicken. In some places and countries, they have no money, so that's what they do. And that's acceptable. But not in America. You know why? We're just all uptight about our money. And God says, when you make a vow, don't be like Naaman, you see. No, it's okay to go over here. The same thing will happen. Water's water. Amen? Okay, say number two. Ecclesiastes 5, 19 and 20. Just go down there, 19 and 20. For every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is a gift of God. God loves to give wealth to people, cash flow, money. You know why? Because God don't only want us to be in spiritual battle. He wants us to enjoy life. So God's not against rich and wealth. Many Christians are. We put down Apple, you know, and a bunch of people who we see wealth. God's not against wealth. Just because you're badly bent or broke doesn't mean everybody should be. Hallelujah. Listen now. In verse 20. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with joy of his heart. Isn't it be nice to have money, to have wealth, to have joy? Have you ever seen people who are broke? They have no joy. God says, if you'll keep the vow, you see, God can make you wealthy, make you rich. He can give you cash flow. Now, there's some people who are in business. There's some people who are in ministry. Everybody's not an apostle. A question was put to Paul, is everybody an apostle? Does everybody do miracles? And the answer is no. Some people are in business. But even me and my wife have cash flow. This ministry has cash flow. So a lot of people are against wealth. So God wants you to know he is not against wealth. He would like to bless you and that you can have cash flow. But you have to examine yourself. When I made a vow to God, did I start off with 10 and wind up with 2%? Some people have. God is very serious about how he does things. You know that? And if you can't afford to meet that vow, that ain't God's fault. You're spending more than you're taking in. Are you listening? Okay. Hallelujah. 10, Ecclesiastes 10, 19 and 20. A fear is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers everything. Listen to me, saints. If you just don't lose what God's going to say next, in these next few minutes. Money answers everything. And I'll tell you why. Let me tell you something. Money can be spent or invested. And the one who has it retains options. The one who spent all his cash has forfeited the options. There's three keys here. Give to God, give to yourself and save, and pay your bills. No big deal, is it? Give to God the vow, you see. Give to yourself and save, and pay your bills. Else you're not going to have options. You're going to have no options. You spend all your cash. People who are wealthy always have options. People who have cash flow always have options. You know, in the football term, an option is when a quarterback takes the ball around the end, he can keep it or toss it out to someone else. See, option means you have a choice. That's what that means. But if you spent all your cash, you have no choice. And God today wants to give you cash flow. He wants your business to flow in cash flow, to have lots of money. Because that's what God said. He's not against rich. He's not against wealth. He talks about it, like I said, 100 times gold and silver, 100 times silver and gold. Over 100 times. So he's not against it, is he? And the reference is about many things. If you ever could get a glimpse into heaven, you think it's made out of old barn boards? God is wealthy, and we are sons and daughters of God, and we're not tapping into that. Well, if you go back to Naaman, you know why? People want to do it their way. The flesh the mind is enmity against God, so we say, oh, it's okay, I'll just give my time. I ain't going to give my money. I just give my time. 10% of your time every day belongs to God. Amen? Now listen now. Why is money the answer to everything? I'll tell you what. God, or Jesus I should say, he says if you can be a good steward over the least, which is money. Are you listening? We ain't got money the least. We got it first priority. But if you can give God, be good steward over the least of things, and I'll bring you to the scripture here in a minute, a least of things, you see, you'll get the true riches. You'll get true riches. We in America have made everything, money, the first thing, the greatest thing. Jesus called it the least. So if I learn to be a good steward over least, I'll get the true spiritual blessings. So money is necessary. God wants you to have cash flow. But listen now. Let me read something here. Stewardship is a valid test of one's relationship to God. God tests our fitness to receive the true riches of heaven by our use of material possessions. Are you listening? Turn to Luke 16. Chris. 16, 10, 11. Jesus said in 16:10, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And what he is unjust in, what is least, is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the righteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches? So Jesus really wants us to understand it's the least that God uses material things or money, you see, and tells you it's the least. And if I can be faithful and control money or material things, I can get the true riches. And most pastors that I know do not have. They have money first. They're always up talking about money and begging for money. I was watching a guy on television this morning, and it was really a neat message. But here it goes. He says, now, I got a red book, and if you'll tithe in this ministry, I'll put you in the book. Who cares if you're in the book? I want to be written down the book in heaven. But you see, everybody's got a gimmick. There was another guy on there. He says, if you'll just tuck a little thing in and send it to me, I'll send you a piece of cloth. It'll break the curse in your life. Jesus took the curse. So Jesus here is talking about it's the least. And if I can't not be over the least, now we don't think it's the least. We think money is we put it up the top thing. You understand what I'm saying? And if you can't bring material things and the least of things that he calls least, you'll never get the true riches. So many pastors never go on to the spiritual gifts or the true riches. And if you'll go around this town, you'll find them all talking about love, and they all become a clanging cymbal, and they're talking about this and talking about that, talking about money. But they never flow, an awful lot of them. Some do, but most of them never flow in the gifts. They never get the true riches. Because money is the first thing, it's not the least thing, and they're not good stewards over it. Are you listening? A body of Christ, a church, should always count money the least, but be a good steward over it. Because God wants to give you riches. If he gave you $10 million, you say, he would expect you to count it as least and be a good steward over it. Or material things. Everything you got, whether it's a business, whether it's a home, it's all been given to you to be a good steward over. Including your mind. Everything belongs to God, as far as the Christian is concerned. And so God wants you to understand, that's why money is the answer to everything. Because if I'm a good steward over the least, money, I'll get the true riches. If I'm not a good steward over money or the least, I won't flow in the spiritual things of God. Are you listening? That's why money's the answer. Money's the answer for everything. So if I'm going to be a good steward over the least, I can expect to get the true riches. Are you listening? That's why money is the answer. So if you just told people money is the answer, they'd all get bent out of shape because we'd all say Jesus is the answer. But money's the answer. It is your answer to getting the spiritual blessings. And if you don't be a good steward over the least, and you got to consider money the least, I don't care how much you got. It's still the least. And God wants to check you out in material things. So that's why money is the answer, because it's how you treat it and how you're a good steward over it will be the reason why you get the spiritual riches of God. And in Ephesians 1:3 says we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Do you see an awful lot of people walking in that? Bits and parts? No, they're not walking in. You know why? Money in churches today is not the least. Jesus should be the first in our lives. You see? So what we try to do is figure out some ways, like Naaman did, to try to do things for God, you see, and we take a little bit out here, put a little bit in there, and we're really not obedient to God's word. We're not doing it as God said to do it. It's awful hard for American people to let go of their money. But if you don't, you'll never get the true riches. That's the reason why many people never get delivered. That's the reason why many people don't get healed. Because money is not the least, money's the first. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. That's that old saying, that television thing. When I come up with ways of getting you to make money, I get everybody's attention. But when I tell you, you're wrong, you're not doing your vow, you're not being a good steward of what is least, because maybe you don't think it's least in your life. Maybe you think it's the most important thing. But money will never become the answer for you if you're not a good steward over the least, because that's going to bring you the spiritual blessings. Are you listening? So it's not wrong to be rich, to have wealth. Donald Trump sits in New York laughing at everybody. That guy gives more money to the poor and different things and everything. And everybody doesn't, I don't like that guy. You know what it is? They're jealous. The ex-vice president just made $100 million selling a TV station. Now, whether you agree or disagree, it's $100 million. I don't think we can count that high, can we? $100 million. Now, it's going to open a whole can of worms. I'm not in agreement with what they did, but it's going to open a whole can of... But the point being is, it's the money part of it. And I think his mind is so whacked out in laws of sin laws and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, are you listening? I got to make sure people are listening. Okay, mammon is wealth or money. Jesus considers money to be least, but faithful in least, leads to true riches. Amen? Say, I'm going to get true riches. See, your whole thinking has got to turn around from the TV evangelist. Send me $1,000, you'll get $1,000,000. Become my partner. You have got to get it settled in you by the power of the Holy Spirit to keep your vow. You got to get it settled that money is leased. I don't care if you have a whole room full of it. It still has to be leased. And you have to be a good steward over it. Because truly, you're trying to get the true riches. See, a lot of people who have wealth don't have peace. Some of them ain't saved. But many are. You'll find out that people who consider it to be leased have a really heart for God. You don't know what they're doing under the, you know, behind the scenes. They give millions and all kinds of money to organizations and people and so on and so forth. You know why? And it just flows to them. They don't have room to hold it. You know why? It's lease. It don't control their lives. You see, to be a good steward over Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett's got more money, I think, than the United States government does. And yet, there he is, getting older and older and having all kinds of fun in life. You know why? Money is lease to him. If you set him down and talk to him, money is lease. To all of us, no. Money's tops. See, I have to have a renewed mind and be taught by the Holy Spirit that money is leased. No matter how much I have, whether it's $100 million, $5 million, $2 million, $10,000, whatever it may be, you see, I have to be faithful over it. I want the true riches. That's what I want. You see, that's why, once again, money is the answer to everything. It's how you treat it, whether you're going to get the true riches. And many, many pastors across this country are not flowing in the true riches of God, spiritual riches of God. They're not flowing in. And they put down the one who is. Oh, that guy's off the wall. You go over there and he gives you words and it never happens. Well, the word of God don't even happen in your life. How are you going to receive a word and get that to work? Jesus says many things in Scripture about the believer. Well, how come it ain't working? Because people are rebellious. I'm going to do it my way. We all want to find ways of doing things. Well, praise God. Amen? Zechariah 1 to 14. I'm sorry. What did I say? 4? 4, 1 to 14. Chapter 4, 1 to 14. Now, this is supernatural, saints. I don't know whether you can receive it or not receive it. But I'm going to say it anyway. It's supernatural. See? Least a good story is supernatural. You do it by the Spirit of God. See, I want to have both. I want to have the wealth with the understanding that I'm going to be a good steward over it, over the riches of money. Because I'm going to have both. You see, some people think, well, you can't have both. Yeah, you can. Because money is the answer. So if you're a good steward over money, you see, you'll get the true riches. spiritual riches. And Ephesians says, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. You see people walking in all the spiritual blessings? Absolutely not. See, I'm not afraid to stand before God and say, I don't have it all. I'm still working on some things. Well, listen to what I'm going to say now. Let's see if something's going to change. Tomorrow is the 7th. Tomorrow is my birthday, and I'll be 77. 777. But I ain't saying it for that. 7 is a special number to God. The 7 spirits of God. It's all through the book of Revelation and other places. So now I'm before God and saying, well, that equals 21. I want 21 blessings. Wealth and spiritual blessings. And then you figure out which ones you're going to release in me. And then give me the wisdom to flow in it. I want some jingle. The trouble with money is the more you get, the more you want. You ever notice that? Someone said, if you had $1 million, you'd be up half the night trying to make the second million. That's the way it is with money. You know why? It's not lease. We don't spend a lot of waking hours trying to figure out how to get spiritual things, how to please God. We spend waking hours trying to figure out how to get wealthy. And God's not against it, is he? But I have to go back in my life and say, now, have I kept my vow? Or am I like Naaman, making all kinds of excuses? I want to get washed over here. He'll never get healed. And we're looking for God to use us in great things. Oh, I'll respond if God uses me in great things. I'm going to be another Catherine Kuhlman. There's only one Catherine Kuhlman, and she's dead. And the gifts she had went back to God. And the Holy Spirit wants to release them, but you're not a Catherine Kuhlman. You're just who you are. If you're Alice, you're Alice. If you're Betty, you're Betty. Hi, Bat. What's that? Champion? Oh, Jeff. Oh, okay. Yeah. See, you don't have to have her name to have the spiritual power. All you need is the Holy Ghost. Okay. Are you ready, Elroy? Yes, Lord. Chapter 4. Now the angel who talked with me came back. Now there's two visions going to take place here. The lampstand and the vision of the olive tree are the two. There's two visions he's seeing here. Okay? Say two visions. Because the way I talk and preach, sometimes I just run it all together. I want you to know there's two here. I get carried away and it just keeps flowing out of me. I just say, well, Lord, they got the Holy Ghost. Let them figure it out. Amen? See, I'm different. There's no other molds like Elroy. It's all broke and thrown away. You want to be who you are. Amen? Okay. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who wakened out of a sleep. Now let me just quickly give you a little example here. I had a dream the other night, and I was in my, excuse me, in my dream, there was 3 dinosaurs. And there was an angel standing beside me. And the angel said, they can't hurt you. This is the supernatural power of this. I don't know how long ago dinosaurs were. 100,000 years? I don't know. I'm not into that anyway. Maybe my grandson back here could probably tell me more about it than I know. But I saw 3 dinosaurs. And the angel said, they can't hurt you. I went and told my wife, and she said, you're under 3 attacks. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you will prosper. You'll condemn every tongue. That's the righteousness of the Lord. Well, they're forming, but they're not going to prosper because of my follow-up with the Word of God. So actually, what really, really showed me something is, if they were 1,000 or 2,000 or 1,000,000 years ago, God reproduced 3 of them in my dream. And all you can find with dinosaurs is bones. So I actually saw 3 in my dream. Are you listening? Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the rest of them saw down through time. I saw backwards. I saw God reproduce dinosaurs. They were actually walking around. They never looked at me. I stood there for the longest time watching them. And then the newspaper came out. We went and bought it at Falcon Herald, and there was a dinosaur in there. My wife went out and got some books. I mean, my mother left me some books, and I don't even know why I keep them. I'll throw them in a dump. Anyway, they're encyclopedias, and they're like, they ought to be collecting Social Security. Anyway, my wife dug it out and showed me the dinosaur. I says, that's the one right there. And the one in the Falcon paper was the one I saw. But I saw them live. They were moving. So God, in my dream, took dinosaurs that were no longer, recreated it for my dream. Are you listening? So I saw 3 live animals, dinosaurs. In order to see that, God had to recreate that for my dream. Are you listening? Are they getting it, Lord? Well, praise God. Verse 2, and he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand, 7 lamps with 7 pipes to 7 lamps. Well, we can get into the 7 churches and so on and so forth. Every church is connected to one of those 7. And I believe the bowl is the golden anointing oil that's going to flow to us. Joel said, and he prophesied, that the Spirit is going to touch everybody. Amen? 2 olive trees are by it, at the right of the bowl, and the other at the left. Verse 4, and so I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Well, I didn't have to ask what the dinosaurs were. I knew what they were. What blew my mind is he recreated something that's been gone for thousands of years, for my dream. See, I don't know why God does these things, and I don't know why he told Naaman, you got to wash in the Jordan. You just can't wash in any water. I don't know why God does that, but when you find God doing things, it's always done according to him. Not what we want to do, not what we like to do, is done according to God. You ever notice that? I mean, you and I would not think about sending manna out of heaven to eat, or to open the Red Sea, or see water come out of a rock. When you find out the prophets always done things his way. The apostles always done things according to Jesus. The body of Christ is out of whack with the head. Hallelujah. Then the angel who talked to me, verse 5, answered and said to me, do you know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And he answered and said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. The word of God. The word of God. How come isn't his word the same? Isn't he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I'm going to dream by the Spirit. I'm going to have visions by the Spirit. I'm going to flow in the spiritual gifts by the Spirit. I'm going to get beyond my flesh by the Spirit of God. I ain't going to do it any other way. I'm going to receive the riches, the cash flow by the Spirit of God. I'm going to realize that money is the answer to everything. Because if I take care of it, I'll get the spiritual blessings. But if I don't, I'll have no options. Verse 7. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You should become a plain. See, any problem you have by the Spirit of God will be knocked down. I don't care what mountain it is. I don't care what sickness it is. I don't care what disease or financial problem. The mountain's coming down. If we do things by the Spirit of God, if we keep our vows, if we believe that God wants to cause us to have wealth, so that we can enjoy life and still have the spiritual blessings that set the oppressed and the captives free. A lot of things have got to come down, and one of them is religion. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Say, I have favor. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of a temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you see, God's hands are finishing. You're getting a message today, and if you haven't been keeping your vow, God's hands will finish it. That's the Holy Spirit. He'll finish it. See, years ago, I had myself in so much debt, and when people called to collect, you know, ain't that a wonderful attitude? Stick it in your ear. You ain't getting nothing out of me. I'm going to come get your car. You won't find it. When I got saved, God said, I got much work to do in you, Ellery. I thought he had much for me to do. No, he meant he had much work to do in me. So I'd go around and say, oh, God got great things for me to do. See, I left out the pot like Naaman did. No, I got great work to do in you, to change you. You're like a wild stallion. Calm down. Give to God. Give yourself. Save. And pay your bills. Well, you see, when God spoke, that didn't bother me. You know why? I was all flesh. God, and I had to, oh, God loves me. Yeah, right. Okay. Back to the Spirit. For who has despised the day of small things? You see, we all want to do great things. The servant said to Naaman, if God told you to do something great, you'd do it right away. But something small, that everything God does in your life is great. Salvation is great. If you got a good wife, it's great. I can't imagine myself sitting home and cooking. Burning everything, poisoning myself. Because I'm the kind who don't read recipes. I don't paint. When my sons were small, they'd get a toy at Christmas, I'd just throw the stuff out. And I'd put it together, and I'd be there for hours. Betty said, why don't you read the book? I said, I threw it in the dump. See, I can't throw this in the dump. This is my instructions. I either going to listen to it, ask the Holy Spirit to help me to do it, or I'll always be broke. I'll never have the riches. I'll never have the wealth. Everybody who's not getting wealth, there's something wrong in your relationship with God. It's not God. It's you. It's me. For these seven rejoiced to see the plumb line of the hand of Zerubbabel. Now listen now. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro. These eyes have all the knowledge and the wisdom of Jesus. Are you listening? They have all the knowledge and the wisdom of Jesus. And if the eyes see me being obedient to the word of God, the knowledge that I need or the wisdom I need will be released in the Holy Spirit in me. But if the eyes see me being fleshly, making a clanging cymbal, making a lot of noise about nothing, you don't receive. But those eyes see you has all the knowledge and the wisdom of God, ready to release it into the Spirit of God into your life. So you can fool me. Say, I want to be delivered from myself. Oh, we all wrestle with things. We all sometimes boast and brag on things. We're so messed up. I had a Muslim the other day say that America is like a garbage can. Well, there is truly a little bit of truth to that, isn't there? All the dope and all the drugs and all the killings and murders and rapes and children, everything else. But God says his church is going to flourish. Why? Number one, Jesus is the head. Out here, Satan is the god of the world. In here, Jesus is the head. The eyes are going to and fro. We should be exploding with wealth. We should not have to beg anybody. We should have the money we need to complete the journey. We should have the spiritual blessings to fulfill the call in our lives. Or if you're in business, you ought to have so much cash flow, it's pressed down, shaken together, running over. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the stand and left, as at the left? I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches dipped into the receptacle of two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? And he answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, Lord. And he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. Now some people think it's Joshua, Zerubbabel. See, I think it's Elijah and Enoch, or whatever his name, how you pronounce that, Enoch. He walked with God in Genesis 5, and God took him up. He didn't die. Elijah, you remember Elisha? He said, what do you want? Well, if you see me taken up, you'll get the mantles. He was taken up without going through the death. Some way those two are coming back. That's my opinion. Now, I'm not going to argue with people who think it's Joshua and the other one. I think the Bible sometimes in Revelation in some places, it's open about different opinions. And I don't think God stands up there and says, you're wrong, you're an idiot. Amen? We all say things. Hallelujah. I ask God to break his pencil, stop writing things down about me. I mean, he'll fill a whole toilet tissue thing. I'm only kidding. So we're going to anoint people today with the golden oil for cash flow. Cash flow. Then it's entirely up to you whether you're believing through your head, your clanging cymbal, or you're believing by the Spirit of God. Either you keep your vow. Either you believe that God wants you to have riches and wealth, he's not against it. I mean, he said to Peter, go over there and catch a fish. Now, there's more stories out about that. They said that there was coins laying in the water and the fish went down and picked it up out of the water. We just don't want to admit that God's all powerful. And if he can show Peter how to get money out of the fish's mouth, don't you think he can show us? Okay. Praise God. I had another one here. Turn to Luke 6:38. Yeah. Well, 6:37 and 38. 6:37 and 38. We're going. Hallelujah. Thirty-seven says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. That doesn't mean you don't discern things. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Then he goes on to say, see, these are some of the things. Verse 38. Give, keep your vow, give will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, so if you give God a tip, that's what's coming back. If you don't keep your vow, that's what's coming back. However you measure things out, if you measure the gifts of the Spirit out, the anointing will continually fall upon you and fill you. Are you listening? If you're willing to stand up and have people look at you, call you names because you're flowing in the spiritual gifts and you keep on doing it, it'll be measured back to you. Now that's for pastors and apostles and and so on and so forth. If a businessman keeps on giving, it'll be measured back. But make sure you ain't got nothing in you that when the eyes go to and fro, they don't see unforgiveness. So they can release the knowledge and the wisdom of God into our lives. It's all about Jesus. These eyes are. I had a dream one time and I walked into this huge, huge room. I don't know how big it was. And there was books from the floor to the ceiling. And someone was beside me like my dream the other night. I said to the Lord, what is this? He said, it's the mind of Christ. Huge from the floor to the ceiling. We haven't even tapped into the things in Christ's mind. We're so busy trying to make money the important thing instead of Jesus. Amen? Well, are you blessed? I am. I preach myself happy. Praise God. We got to put one on there. Amen. You ain't in a hurry, are you? Oh, go to Terry in the purple, number 8. First of all, see if that's instrumental. I don't want any instrumentals. I'm not into that stuff. Some people, I'm not. See, that's why I couldn't go to a thing where they played a... I think Randall's into that stuff. He loves all kinds of stuff like that. There ain't nothing wrong, Randall. He just ain't been checked out yet. No. I'm only kidding. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. That's what we want to do today. If there's anything that's stopping you from getting cash flow, you need to surrender to the Lord and not take it back. In my life, and in your not life, as you're sitting there and I'm standing here, there's always something to surrender. There's something that blocks God's blessing. The eyes go to and fro. You never leave God's sight, you see. And you always need to learn to check in with the head before you do anything. Amen? Hallelujah. So now we're going to pray and anoint you with the gold anointing oil for cash flow. That's what we're going to do. It's all been about money. I think American people, the body of Christ, should be blessed by a sovereign move of God. Amen? God wants to really bless you. Some people can handle more money, some people a little less. But everybody should have enough to meet your need and have some left over so you have options. You got nothing left, you got no option. Amen? Hallelujah. Things up there blinking at me. Hallelujah. I'm going to do something different today. I'm going to ask Randall and Leslie to help. The other two will be behind in case. So we'll get them up here. Then you can give one to Leslie, if you would, please. Okay, let's start up here and see how many fills up here with this side over here. We're going to do things decently in order, right? I'm anointing you for cash flow. Okay? Nothing else. I mean, if God happens to heal you, that's entirely up to him. But I'm anointing for cash flow. Okay? Yeah, forward here. Yeah. We can have some more. This over here now. Some of you will come up over down there, please. Hallelujah. We'll just fill it up, and you guys can gauge. And once they're done, they'll go back and sit down, and you can keep on coming. Okay? We got that right? I ain't got no ushers now. How you doing? Good. I got cash flow. Okay. Huh? You two go up there. Sat over there. Go ahead. Just go right up there. You ain't got to. Just go about it. Remember now, you're anointed. No talk, no nothing. Just cash flow. Cash flow. Amen? This is gold anointing oil, David. There's gold in there.
Cool?
We need some money.
Cash flow. Close your eyes, raise your hands, and release your faith. Father God, I anoint him in Jesus' name for cash flow right now, Lord. The blessing and riches of our Father God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, I anoint her right now. Cash flow right now in Jesus' name. Cash flow, Lord. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Father God, I anoint her right now, Lord. Cash flow, Lord, into her life, into her husband's life, in the blessed name of Jesus. Cash flow, I speak it by faith in the authority of the name of Jesus. Cash flow right now, Lord. I touch him right now, Lord. I thank you and I praise you, Lord. Things are turning around, Lord. There's some light at the end of the tunnel, Lord. So we thank you for that cash flow in Jesus' name. Cash flow in the name of Jesus. I anoint him right now for cash flow, Lord. A supernatural move of a flow of the cash into his life in Jesus' name. I anoint her right now, Lord. Cash flow right now in the blessed holy name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Cash flow. Cash flow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Cash flow in Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Cash flow in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Cash flow. Much cash flow in Jesus' name. Cash flow in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Cash flow in Jesus' name. 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 Hallelujah. Let me come right in here, guys. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hey, cash flow in Jesus' name. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Cash flow and joy in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Cash flow in Jesus' name. 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 Hallelujah. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Oh, big cash flow. Big cash flow in Jesus' name. Big cash flow in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Cash flow. Oh, egg flow in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Cash flow. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I wipe out all debt by the power of God. And I call a miracle, Lord, in her finances to come to her life, Lord, that she may get on with it, serving you, Lord, and get on with the vision that she has with the man next to her. In Jesus' name, amen. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Cash flow in Jesus' name. You got that one? Did you pray for a pocketbook? That's why she's got it up there.
Both.
Oh. What about them?
Them.
You got them too?
Yes.
Cash flow in Jesus' name. Did you get these? No, he didn't get you, did he? How you doing, guy? You're growing like a weed. Is your birthday tomorrow? The 7th. Number 7. Blessings. Father God, I touch him right now, Lord. In the blessed holy name of Jesus. All the blessings, Lord. Blessings upon this young man, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good job, guy. Good job. Yeah, don't forget about David. Cash flow in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. Yes, it's going to flow. This man's a good steward over. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Money's important, but it's still the least in his heart. So we give you praise and honor and glory, Lord Jesus, that true spiritual blessings will come to his life by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Cash flow in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. And it's going to come some other way by not just teaching. It's going to come another way. It's going to come another way. God is going to bring cash. There's going to be plenty of cash flow because your vision is going to take a lot of money to fulfill. God's going to bring cash flow into both of you guys' lives in Jesus' holy name. I speak it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Did everybody get that wanted it? Oh. If I had his money, I'd be all set. It's money bags. Father God, cash flow in Jesus' holy name. Oh, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. Every debt wiped away, Lord. Grace and favor, Lord, upon the IRS, Lord, in Jesus' name. We give you praise and honor and glory, Lord, for what you're going to do in his life in the area of cash flow in Jesus' name. Once you was in debt, but now you are free. I speak it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I went out and bought some handkerchiefs. I didn't mean to buy a towel. at the size of that thing, man. And on top of that, I grabbed two. One for each nostril. Look at the size of these things, man. You'd have to have an awful big nose. Well, that's in case I run into a dinosaur again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My God. I bet you 10 to 1 these were made in China. We got to send them over a ruler. It'd take you half an hour just to press them. Father God, we thank you for these handkerchiefs. Hallelujah. They can absorb much sweat. See, you can even do this number with them, you know. This is for a prayer thing. What do you call it? Tent? Hallelujah. Are you out there? Yeah, oh yeah. Praise God. I don't know why I'm doing that. I get foolish. I even do this at home. My wife just goes to another room. No, she don't. I'm always, yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the vow, Lord. We thank you we're not going to be like Naaman, Lord, and try to do it some other way. But we're going to do it laid out by your word, the foundation of how we are to reach up to things, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your eyes go to and fro. All the knowledge and wisdom of you, Jesus, is in these eyes, Lord. So we're going to keep our vow. And we're going to believe by faith that you're not against riches. You're not against wealth, Lord. And so we don't want to get a mindset that we just want a little cabin in the mountains somewhere. Lord, we want a mansion, Lord. We want the same thing that's in heaven, Lord, when we get there. So we want to learn on earth how to do this. So we thank you and we praise you, Lord. Automobiles are coming into the family of God. Riches and finances, businesses increase, cash flow increase. I call it forth by faith in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, hallelujah. Well, I'm expecting testimonies. Not at the end of 13, but quickly. It'll depend where your faith is. Don't come against wealth. Don't be on the side of President Obama. Don't come against wealth. Wealth is good. Money's the answer. If you're a good steward over it, you get the true riches. You get a double whammy. Amen? Well, I'll let you go. Shake someone's hand, say something nice. It's going to be spent some time here folding these silly things. Hallelujah.